Cutting Audio.
The following programs are presented in graphic audio. Deathlands.
Easy! Don't fight it! Trim into the flow! We need speed!
Fast, then sharp!
JB called out from the cargo raft, with Doc beside him at the tiller.
Together! Must be together, or we go in!
Ryan stole a glance at the chains mooring the crafts in tandem.
Follow your lead!
Are we going to shoot past the rim?
Unless you got a better idea!
Outlanders.
If the entropic gradient of any piece of matter can be reversed... Quickly, Miss Bridget, what would we have?
Kane watched her face and was surprised by the expression that suddenly crossed it. It wasn't only comprehension. It was horror.
Immortality. You would have, for all intents and purposes, a machine to make anything or anyone immortal.
Sindri nodded in smug triumph.
Precisely, Miss Bridget. A god machine.
Stony Man.
Okay, guys. We're up against the first team here. Keep sharp.
Cover me. He was halfway across the open ground when he took a full round in the chest. Giving a grunt as the breath was knocked out of him, he crumpled to the cobblestones.
TJ!
He heard James yell over his comlink.
I'm okay. The armor soaked it up.
You got hit by a sniper. Keep your ass down until I can get that bastard.
No problem.
The Executioner.
Bolin dropped the muzzle and raked the area beneath the plane. His burst sent 7.62mm bullets into the earth, then beyond. One man went down, screaming in agony, his weapon forgotten as he clutched at limbs shredded by Bolin's bullets. He lay on the ground, hands bloody, attempting to stop the gouts of red spurting from his legs, his upper body jerking as Bolin's continuous fire sent more bullets into him. Gasoline was dribbling from the Takano's ruptured tanks, pooling on the ground under the aircraft. Bolin let go of the machine gun and reached down to snatch up a couple of grenades. He pulled the first pin and hurled the grenade in the direction of the already crippled plane.
See the movie in your mind. And now, our feature presentation. Cutting Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Kate Torrey, and Christopher Graybill. Deathlands 59. Amazon Gate. Something was wrong. But for the life of him, Jack Lauren was unable to work out exactly what it was. The albino hugged the ground, the rich loam filling his nostrils with a heady scent. The roots and leaves mixed into a rich aroma that still couldn't hide the stench of death. The rancid aroma of rotting flesh and dried blood that permeated his clothes and even his skin. He blinked, his red eyes stung by the sweat that trickled into them. Despite the irritation, he resisted the temptation to reach up and wipe the liquid away, loath to move his arm and disturb the foliage around him. Until he was sure what was happening, even the slightest movement was a danger. Even the merest whisper of a rustle could bring death down on him. Jack's long white hair was lank and loose around his face, strands of it plastered to his skin, while other loose hairs tickled and poked at the corners of his nose and mouth. Like the sweat, he ignored the irritation. Instead, he focused on what was around, straining every nerve, concentrating his senses so hard that he could almost hear the blood pounding in his veins, the hissing of his own central nervous system. None of that did anything to waylay the gnawing at the pit of his stomach. Despite his apparent calm in the middle of a firefight, his stillness when hunting and stalking, his almost stoic acceptance of every dangerous situation he'd faced in his journeys across the Deathlands, Jack knew fear, recognized and embraced it, yielding to it rather than fighting it and setting his body at war with itself. It was the only way he could find space in which to act rather than react, to take control and win. But this wasn't fear, exactly. The nagging, insistent feeling was more akin to anxiety. There was something awful around the corner, something large and unknown. His breathing stilled until it had almost stopped. He returned the center of his attention to the immediate surroundings. It was still and calm, with no life or movement around him. The smell of death was now old, no longer immediate. Jack knew it was time to move. With care, he moved his sinuous muscles, bringing his limbs to a position where he was able to lift his prone body in one swift, fluid movement, rising to his feet in a fraction of a second. He shot a glance around before dropping to his haunches. There'd been nothing in view, no movement of any kind. No sign of bird or animal life, no predators or scavengers moving in on the chilled corpses. Now, hunkered in the foliage, partially sheltered but still able to keep a clear view, Jack took stock of his thoughts and tried to remember what had happened. He frowned. He had no memory of anything before this point. He'd never blacked out and lost his memory in a firefight before. It was something that disturbed him. He drew the .357 Magnum Colt Python that was his preferred blaster. He sniffed. It hadn't been fired recently. There was a shell in the chamber, and it was fully loaded. Reaching into the pockets and concealed holes in his patched camo jacket, moving probing fingers gently past the small shards of metal and glass that were sewn onto the fabric, he could feel that he still had a full complement of ammo, and all of his leaf-bladed throwing knives were still in their concealed positions. Puzzled, he realized that whatever had happened in this place, he'd taken no personal part in the firefight. What had happened? How had he ended up here? Who were the chilled he could smell so strongly around him? Jack's frown deepened. There was only one possibility, and he didn't want to consider it. Fighting a rising tide of horror, Lauren rose slowly to his feet, took a long, slow survey of the land around him, certain now that he was alone. He was in the middle of a veldt that stretched for at least a mile in each direction. There were distant stands of trees, stunted and blackened with leaves, that hung as heavy as drops of blood in the clear bright sun. The sky was a deep blue, tinged with just the faintest hint of chem cloud purple. Traces of wispy cumulus broke the unrelenting block of color, the sun hazy behind the chem-addled atmosphere. The sun was orange, beating down with a heat that was oppressive, causing the smell of the charnel house to hang still in the air. Despite the heat and lack of clouds, he figured that the area had to have a good rainfall, as the earth on which he'd been resting was moist, the loam soil rich-smelling. Furthermore, the grass was a lush green, not dry and spiky. The flowering plants were still in bloom, their thick and twisting green stems looking healthy and not starved of water. They grew to a height of about 3 feet, thick enough in places to form small banks of color that showed the indentations of fallen bodies, even though the corpses themselves were hidden from view. In other places, Jack could see the signs of violent struggle more clearly. There were glimpses of fallen fighters, blood smearing the grass and earth around, the stained clothing and torn flesh clearly visible. There were 6 corpses. He moved across the veldt, his light and instinctive footing leaving no trace of his passing, the barely disturbed grass and plant stems rising as the pressure of his tread was released. The first corpse was a woman, a black woman. She had no face, the exposed bone and purpled flesh, a mass broken only by the distorted position of her unseeing eyes. The braids that still hung limply around her head identified her as surely as the Czech-manufactured ZKR pistol that hung from her lifeless grasp. Dr. Mildred Wyeth, the Freezy who'd been revived into the post-Holocaust world her generation had initiated, had finally come up against one too many odds. She also had a large gash across her chest, cutting through the layers of clothing to tear clean through.